Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So as we move deeper into the ocean of Ramadan, we observe certain transformations. Most of what is valuable in religion is beyond the reach of human language, but we know that we are changing. And we know that we are accustoming ourselves to what the scholars call tajreed, stripping away, that during the day the little child within that wants this treat and that treat has given up, is, as it were, cried himself to sleep, and we experience a kind of austere liberation. And at the iftar we, as it were, come back to life again, and there is a sense in which we experience a little death, and then come back to life again to be given another chance. It's a little bit like Arafat, resurrection that is before the resurrection, because in the grave, of course, we will all be fasting. One day we will all be taking our last morsel and choking on our last drink. That time will come to all of us. Ramadan is a time when we learn our vulnerability, our dependence on the rizq of the Creator, and also breathe a different air and start to experience ourselves as detached from the normal kind of life support system, the sucrose drip of our treats and our customs. So reflecting on this, I've been reading some of the great poetry of the Ummah, in which the souls of the transformed ones continue to move us over enormous gulfs of space and time. And I've been reading most recently, and with considerable respect, the poetry of somebody who I think is not sufficiently known, although he's known in the Turkish-speaking world in Central Asia, somebody called Khwaja Ahmed Yasavi, who spent most of his life and died in what is now Kazakhstan. He's somebody who really spent his life to the da'wah, spreading Islam in those very inhospitable places, in the middle of the largest continent, sweltering summers, sub-zero winters, difficult for him and his disciples to go out talking to these wild shamanistic tribes and bringing them to Tawheed. But that was his dedication, and his particular calling was to those who were most unfortunate, the poorest, the isolated, those who'd been rejected by their tribes, orphans. He's famous as a lover of the poor, and this was his particular modality of following some aspect of the enormous prophetic personage, the Khuluq Azim. So I've been looking at, he's lived so long ago. He dies in the middle of the 12th century. This is before the Mongols, before all kinds of things are happening. And much of his poetry has been lost, or it's present only in half verses or variant readings. He's the first truly great Muslim voice from that region, as Islam takes those people and takes that language, which had previously been just for talking about horses and camels and hawks and rival tribes, and turned it into an absolutely exquisite and beautiful instrument for the conveying of the fullness of Islam. Islam uplifts, transforms, turns to gold languages wherever it goes, as well as souls. So looking at one of these poems, which I hadn't read before, and I'm still coming to terms with it, and some of the verses are not complete, you get a sense of his awareness of this tajreed, this sort of little death that we experience during Ramadan. And it's a poem in which he has a verse about every year of his life. Some are missing, but most of it is here. Explaining his spiritual state, his weaknesses, his strengths, how Allah is taking him up to his 63rd year. When he reached his 63rd year, which of course is the prophetic age for death, he felt that it was not appropriate for him any longer to be on the surface of the earth, and so he carried on the remainder of his teaching and his ibadah in a kind of cave underneath the ground. So he'd entered the earth, as it were, before before his actual death, continued with his extraordinary process of transforming this great Kazakh nation, which is now, I think, the biggest territorially Muslim country, an enormous area, and it's his soul really that transformed these people. You couldn't conquer these wandering tribes, you affected their soul. So let's look a little bit at a few of these years. He reaches to us over the centuries, and at this time of Zuhud and doing without and contemplation, I think it's particularly effective. I'll just read a few verses. He begins, Bismillah de beyan eyler hikmet aytup, taliplerge dürü gevher saçtım manav, riyazetne kattık tartıp kanlar yutup, ben defteri sani sözün açtım manav. I begin the words with Bismillah and begin with wisdom. I wish to spread pearls for true men. At all times, this is part of my discipline and my hardship. I am opening for this another defter, another notebook. And then verse 3. Kayda kersen könlü sünük merhem bolgül, andat mazlum yolda kersen hemden bolgül, ruzi mahşer didarga mahrem bolgül, mavi menlik halayık tün kaçtım manav. Wherever you see a broken heart, be the medicine for that heart. Whenever you encounter on your way someone who has been wronged, become the friend and the fellow traveller of that person. Thus, on the day of resurrection, you will be close to Allah's beauty. I have fled from those who say me, and on my behalf, I have fled from that humanity. Garip fakir yetimler ne resul seydi, o şol günü miraç çıkıp didar kerdi, andan sonra garip fakir halin sordu, gariplarını izin izlep yurdun mena. Hazreti Muhammed at all times loved the stranger, the penniless, and the orphan. He was transformed on his miraj and beheld the beauty of the Creator. After that, he showed complete concern for the isolated and for the impoverished. So I also seek at all times in his way to be with the garipler, those who are left on their own. Ümmet bolsan gariplarga tabi bolgül, ayet hadis her kim aitse sami bolgül, Razak ezi her ne berse kane bolgül, kane bolup şerk şarabın içtim manav. If you are from the ummah of the Holy Prophet, then be at all times at the side of the strangers. Always extend your attentive ear to those who read Quran and Hadith. Treat Allah in His name Al-Razaq as always sufficient for you. I have consumed the wine of love and I am satisfied in all things. Akıl ersen gariplarına könlün avla, Mustafa dek elni kezip yetim kavla, dünya perest nacinslerdin boyun tavla, boyun tavlap derya bolup taştım manav. If you are an intelligent man, draw close to the souls of the strangers. Spread goodness like the Holy Prophet to all people. Look for and ask after the orphans. "Do not turn your face towards the worshippers of the world. I have turned away my face, and everything has become like a great ocean." Let me move forward a little bit. The translation obviously is very crude and unpoetic, but we get a sense of the particular spiritual state of this stranger who lived for the strangers and lived for the orphans and brought a whole country into Islam. So now he goes through his years, year by year. So, on yashinda oglan boldun kul hoca Ahmet, harcilikle bina koyup kılmaya taat, harcemen dep yolda kalsan vane hasrat, ol sebeptin 63'te yerge kirdim. Oh, Hoca Ahmet, when you were a child of 10, you rose up to the position of a hoja, a religious teacher, but you did not worship. What a shame it is to say, "I am a religious teacher," when you are so much remains on the road. For this reason, in my 63rd year, I went beneath the earth. So this becomes the final line of each quatrain for the rest of the poem. Hoşgayıptın avaz keldi kulağım dakka. Zikrayt dedi zikrin aytıp yürüdüm manal. İşksizlerine kördüm erse yolda kalgan. Ol sebeptin işk dükkanı kördüm manal. A beautiful voice came to my ear from the unseen world. This is when he's 10. Remember Allah. And for that reason, I became a rememberer of Allah. I saw that those who had no love for Allah could not remain steadfast on the path. And for this reason, I opened my shop of love. It goes on, there's so much that's beautiful, but the point is that we get the sense of somebody who was following the Holy Prophet's commandment, "Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib aw abir as-sabil," be in this world as though a wayfarer or a traveler. Gharib, the believer in this world, with its worldliness and with those who are worshipping the world, feels a bit out of place and strange, and that's the place of the believer in this time. The believer is, as it were, detached, has this tajreed, and is constantly recalling the grave, hoping that it will be for him the most beautiful garden that he's ever seen. And because of this alienation from this world, which is symbolized by the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his mi'raj, leaving the world but coming back to the world and, as it were, seeing things in perspective, he says that when you have that understanding, that's when you're in solidarity with the poor, with the orphan, with the helpless, and you walk side by side with them on their path. So this was his particular spiritual fragrance, the converter of Kazakhstan. May Allah have mercy upon him and raise him up to a high degree. And may we end this fasting month, this month of austerity of Ramadan, inshallah, taste something of the sweetness and the blessing and the love that comes from Tajreed. This is not really a time for sorrow. This is a time for love as we set aside distractions and we look at the world in a mature way and see the beauty and see the divine purposes at work and single out the brokenhearted who are particularly close to him for our loving care and our solidarity. May Allah accept our fasting, inshallah, and bring us to the Eid in safety and in humility and benefit us, inshallah, from the depth of this amazing time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.